I know we've only just met, but I'm a scientist and I'd like to talk to you about love. I'm not even going to buy you dinner first. Science is about making sense of ourselves and the world and universe around us. We are human, and humans are curious. Love is a common human emotion, extraordinary in its own way, and we want to try to understand it. Clinically, falling in love is symptomatic. Racing heart, sweaty palms, difficulty getting the words out, sleeplessness and heightened senses. There is a biological response to the person we desire. This starts in the brain with the release of chemicals called neurotransmitters. The neurotransmitter noradrenaline makes us focused, with eyes for no one else. It's also a stimulant to the nervous system. We literally might not be able to sleep for thinking of our beloved. Low levels of another neurotransmitter, serotonin, have been found to be a common factor in two groups of people. One with diagnosis of obsessional compulsive disorder, OCD, and the other in the early stages of falling in love. The study by Donatella Marazzetti, a psychiatrist at the University of Pisa, came about because she noticed that the behaviour of the newly love-struck with their one-track minds was similar to that of OCD sufferers, with intrusive, repetitive thoughts. Professor Helen Fisher, a biological anthropologist at Rutgers University, published a paper in 2002 exploring the brain systems involved in lust, romantic attraction and attachment, in particular the neurotransmitter dopamine. Dopamine affects mood and it heightens the senses. Rising levels in response to stimuli produce a rush of pleasure. We like the way it makes us feel and are driven to seek out whatever it was that gave us the hit. We might talk about love at first sight, but when we are falling in love, a feedback loop establishes itself and establishes a cycle of desire and reward. Love is habit forming. The surge in dopamine levels and the effect on the brain are similar to the brain's response to euphoria-inducing drugs like cocaine. But what if we fall for a bad boy or girl? Ellen Burshed, a professor of social psychology, has spent her career examining the psychology of love. She argues that the newly love-struck idealise their partners, exaggerating their good points and explaining away their faults. When relationships end badly, for most of us, it is a learning experience, and our heartbreak is our own. I might be a scientist, but I'm also a woman. However, as far as I know, any romantic misadventures I've had haven't changed the course of history. Henry VIII of England married Anne Boleyn in 1533, and it's no spoiler to say that it didn't end well for her. Anne was a maid-in-waiting to Henry's first wife, Catherine of Aragon, a Spanish princess. Henry's desire to set aside Catherine for Anne set in motion a chain of events across Europe, as the Catholic Church refused to declare his marriage to Catherine invalid. Following the sack of Rome, the Pope was a prisoner of Catherine's nephew Charles, the Holy Roman Emperor, and in no position to grant King Henry the annulment of his marriage to Charles' aunt. To get around this problem, Henry's minister Cromwell passed an act through Parliament enshrining royal supremacy over the Church. The result? A break with Rome and the establishment of the Church of England. Conflict in Europe. People's lives across the continent affected by two lovers that they hadn't even met. There is no meter or gauge that could record those results. Because if we want to understand love and the human experience of love, it isn't enough to do it with science alone. The humanities and arts are just as important in telling the story. Maybe I can talk about love and marriage with reference to science, because I'm not just a woman, I'm a wife as well. As a relationship moves beyond the infatuation stage towards long-term attachment, there are hormones whose effects promote bonding. Both vasopressin and oxytocin are produced following sex. Vasopressin is linked with monogamy. It has been shown with supermonogamous prairie voles that if the production of vasopressin is suppressed, the normally faithful little creatures stop protecting their mate and start to have eyes for other voles. Oxytocin also increases bonding to the extent that the more we have sex, the greater the bond between two people. Yet human love between two people isn't a simple interaction of two bags of hormones and chemicals. It can be found in a painting, in a poem, in a song. Take the start of Just the Way You Are by Billy Joel. Don't go changing to try and please me. You never let me down before. Don't imagine you're too familiar and I don't see you anymore. I wouldn't leave you in times of trouble. We never could have come this far. I took the good times, I'll take the bad times. I'll take you just the way you are. Words can be as precise as science. We don't only want to know the facts about love, but how it feels. As a mother, the love I have for my children isn't explained by oxytocin alone. It doesn't look like it either. The separation of science and the arts is a fairly recent thing. The ancient Greeks studied them together, the trivium of logic, rhetoric and grammar, leading on to the quadrivium of arithmetic, geometry, music and astronomy, and culminating with philosophy. They recognise that knowledge and inquiry are multifaceted. We humans are messy, complicated creatures. We are difficult to describe. Scientists need words. They need the arts. They need the humanities. We cannot make sense of ourselves without them. Not only when it comes to emotions such as love, but also in what looks like cold hard science. When we send astronauts into space, yes, we want to learn about how the universe works, but we also want to know what it feels like to orbit the Earth. After all, it's likely we'll never get to do it ourselves. The Canadian astronaut Chris Hadfield posted a video from the International Space Station on May the 12th, 2013. It has had over 25 million views. One man in space, singing and playing the guitar. David Bowie's Space Oddity. One man in space, singing another man's words and another man's music. And we get it. We get it in a way that we cannot truly comprehend from measurements and giant and unimaginable numbers. We get what it feels like to be a human being in space.